The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo, Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 24, The Supramental Sense, page 871. The embodied mind in us is ordinarily aware only through the physical organs and only of their objects and of subjective experiences which seem to start from the physical experience and to take them alone, however remotely, for their foundation and mold of construction. All the rest, all that is not consistent with or part of or verified by the physical data, seems to it rather imagination than reality. And it is only in abnormal states that it opens to other kinds of conscious experience. But, in fact, there are immense ranges behind of which we could be aware if we opened the doors of our inner being. These ranges are there already in action, and known to a subliminal self in us, and much even of our surface consciousness is directly projected from them, and without our knowing it, influences our subjective experience of things. There is a range of independent vital or pranic experiences behind, subliminal to and other than the surface action of the vitalized physical consciousness. And when this opens itself, or acts in any way, there are made manifest to the waking mind the phenomena of a vital consciousness, a vital intuition, a vital sense not dependent on the body and its instruments, although it may use them as a secondary medium and a recorder. It is possible to open completely this range, and when we do so, we find that its operation is that of the conscious life force individualized in us, contacting the universal life force and its operations in things, happenings, and persons. The mind becomes aware of the life consciousness in all things, responds to it through our life consciousness with an immediate directness not limited by the ordinary communication through the body and its organs, records its intuitions, becomes capable of experiencing existence at a translation of the universal life, or prana. The field of which the vital consciousness and the vital sense are primarily aware is not that of forms, but directly, that of forces. Its world is a world of the play of energies, and form and event are sensed only secondarily as a result and embodiment of the energies. The mind, working through the physical senses, can only construct a view and knowledge of this nature as an idea of the intelligence. But it cannot go beyond the physical translation of the energies, and it has, therefore, no real or direct experience of the true nature of life, no actual realization of the life force and the life spirit. It is by opening this other level or depth of experience within, and by admission to the vital consciousness and vital sense, that the mind can get the true and direct experience. Still, even then, so long as it is on the mental level, the experience is limited by the vital terms and their mental renderings. And there is an obscurity even in this greatened sense and knowledge. The supramental transformation supravitalizes the vital, reveals it as a dynamics of the spirit, makes a complete opening and a true revelation of all the spiritual reality behind and within the life force and the life spirit, and of all its spiritual, as well as its mental and purely vital truth and significance. The supermind, in its descent into the physical being, awakens, if not already wakened by previous yogic sadhana, the consciousness, veiled or obscure in most of us, which supports and forms there the vital sheath, the prana kosha. When this is awakened, we no longer live in the physical body alone, but also in a vital body which penetrates and envelops the physical, and is sensitive to impacts of another kind, to the play of the vital forces around us, and coming in on us from the universe, or from particular persons or group lives, or from things, or else from the vital planes and worlds which are behind the material universe. These impacts we feel even now in their result and in certain touches and affectations, but not at all or very little in their source and their coming. An awakened consciousness in the pranic body immediately feels them, is aware of a pervading vital force other than the physical energy, and can draw upon it to increase the vital strength and support the physical energies, can deal directly with the phenomena and causes of health and disease by means of this vital influx, or by directing pranic currents, can be aware of the vital and the vital emotional atmosphere of others and deal with its interchanges, along with a host of other phenomena which are felt by or obscure to our outward consciousness, but here become conscient and sensible. It is acutely aware of the life soul and life body in ourself and others. The supermind takes up this vital consciousness and vital sense, puts it on its right foundation, and transforms it by revealing the life force here as the very power of the spirit, dynamized for a near and direct operation on and through subtle and gross matter, and for formation and action in the material universe. The first result is that the limitations of our individual life being break down, and we live no longer with the personal life force, or not with that ordinarily, but in and by the universal life energy. It is all the universal prana that comes consciously streaming into and through us, keeps up there a dynamic, constant eddy, an unseparated center of its power, a vibrant station of storage and communication, constantly fills it with its forces and pours them out in activity upon the world around us. This life energy, again, is felt by us not merely as a vital ocean and its streams, but as the vital way and form and body and outpouring of a conscious universal Shakti. And that conscient Shakti reveals itself as the Chit Shakti of the Divine, the energy of the transcendent and universal Self, and Purusha of which, or rather of whom, our universalized individuality becomes an instrument and channel. As a result, we feel ourselves one in life with all others, and one with the life of all nature and of all things in the universe. There is a free and conscious communication of the vital energy working in us with the same energy working in others. We are aware of their life as of our own, or, at the least, of the touch and pressure and communicated movements of our life being on them and theirs upon us. The vital sense in us becomes powerful, intense, capable of bearing all the small or large, minute or immense vibrations of this life world on all its planes, physical and superphysical, vital and supervital, thrills with all its movement and ananda, and is aware of and open to all forces. The supermind takes possession of all this great range of experience and makes it all luminous, harmonious, experienced not obscurely and fragmentarily and subject to the limitations and errors of its handling by the mental ignorance, but revealed. It and each moment of it, in its truth and totality of power and delight, and directs the great and now hardly limitable powers and capacities of the life dynamis on all its ranges, according to the simple and yet complex, the sheer and spontaneous and yet unfalteringly intricate will of the divine in our life. It makes the vital sense a perfect means of the knowledge of the life forces around us, as the physical of the forms and sensations of the physical universe, and a perfect channel, too, of the reactions of the active life force through us working as an instrument of self-manifestation. The phenomena of this vital consciousness and sense, this direct sensation and perception of and response to the play of subtler forces than the physical, are often included without distinction under the head of physical phenomena. In a certain sense, it is an awakening of the psyche, the inner soul now hidden, clogged, wholly or partially covered up by the superficial activity of the physical mind and senses that brings to the surface the submerged or subliminal inner vital consciousness, and also an inner or subliminal mental consciousness and sense capable of perceiving and experiencing directly not only the life forces and their play and results and phenomena, but the mental and psychical worlds and all they contain, and the mental activities, vibrations, phenomena, forms, images of this world also, and of establishing a direct communication between mind and mind without the aid of the physical organs and the limitations they impose on our consciousness. There are, however, two different kinds of action of these inner ranges of the consciousness. The first is a more outer and confused activity of the awakening subliminal mind and life, which is clogged with and subject to the grosser desires and illusions of the mind and vital being, and vitiated in spite of its wider range of experience and powers and capacities by an enormous mass of error and deformations of the will and knowledge, full of false suggestions and images, false and distorted intuitions and inspirations and impulses, the latter often even depraved and perverse, and vitiated too by the interference of the physical mind and its obscurities. This is an inferior activity to which clairvoyants, psychists, spiritists, occultists, seekers of powers and siddhis are very liable, and to which all the warnings against the dangers and errors of this kind of seeking are more especially applicable. The seeker of spiritual perfection has to pass as quickly as possible, if he cannot altogether avoid, this zone of danger. And the safe rule here is to be attached to none of these things, but to make spiritual progress one's sole real objective, and to put no sure confidence in other things until the mind and the life soul are purified, and the light of the spirit and supermind, or at least of the spiritually illumined mind and soul, are shed on these inner ranges of experience. For when the mind is tranquilized and purified, and the pure psyche liberated from the insistence of the desire soul, These experiences are free from any serious danger, except indeed that of limitation, and a certain element of error which cannot be entirely eliminated so long as the soul experiences and acts on the mental level. For there is then a pure action of the true psychical consciousness and its powers, a reception of psychical experience pure in itself of the worst deformations. Although subject to the limitations of the representing mind, and capable of a high spiritualization and light. The complete power and truth, however, can only come by the opening of the supermind and the supramentalizing of the mental and psychical experience. The range of the psychic consciousness and its experiences is almost illimitable, and the variety and complexity of its phenomena almost infinite. Only some of the broad lines and main features can be noted here, and the first to manifest itself with any largeness when the veil of the absorption in the surface consciousness which prevents the inner vision is broken. But all the physical senses have their corresponding powers in the psychical being. There is a psychical hearing, touch, smell, taste. Indeed, the physical senses are themselves, in reality, only a projection of the inner sense into a limited and externalized operation in and through and upon the phenomena of gross matter. The psychical sight receives characteristically the images that are formed in the subtle matter of the mental or psychical ether. Chittakasa. These may be transcriptions there, or impresses of physical things, persons, scenes, happenings, whatever is, was, or will be, or may be, in the physical universe. These images are very variously seen and under all kinds of conditions. In samadhi, or in the waking state, and in the latter with the bodily eyes closed or open, projected on or into a physical object or medium, or seen as if materialized in the physical atmosphere or only in a psychical ether, revealing itself through this grosser physical atmosphere, seen through the physical eyes themselves as a secondary instrument, and as if under the conditions of the physical vision, or by the psychical vision alone, and independently of the relations of our ordinary sight to space. The real agent is always the psychical sight, and the power indicates that consciousness is more or less awake, intermittently or normally and more or less perfectly, in the psychical body. It is possible to see in this way the transcriptions or impressions of things at any distance beyond the range of the physical vision or the images of the past or the future. Besides these transcriptions or impresses, the psychical vision receives thought images and other forms created by constant activity of consciousness in ourselves or in other human beings. And these may be according to the character of the activity, images of truth or falsehood, or else mixed things, partly true, partly false, and may be, too, either mere shells and representations or images inspired with a temporary life and consciousness and, it may be, carrying in them, in one way or another, some kind of beneficent or maleficent action, or some willed or unwilled effectiveness on our minds or vital being, or through them even on the body. These transcriptions, impresses, thought images, life images, projections of the consciousness may also be representations or creations not of the physical world, but of vital psychic or mental worlds beyond us. seen in our own minds or projected from other than human beings. And as there is this psychical vision of which some of the more external and ordinary manifestations are well enough known by the name of clairvoyance, so there is a psychical hearing and psychical touch, taste, smell. Clairaudience, clairsentience are the more external manifestations, with precisely the same range in its own kind, the same fields and manners and conditions and varieties of their phenomena. These and other phenomena create an indirect, a representative range of psychical experience. But the psychical sense has also the power of putting us in a more direct communication with earthly or supra-terrestrial beings through their psychical selves, or their psychical bodies, or even with things. For things also have a psychical reality, and souls or presences supporting them which can communicate with our psychical consciousness. The most notable of these more powerful but rarer phenomena are those which attend the power of exteriorization of our consciousness for various kinds of action otherwise and elsewhere than in the physical body, communication in the psychical body or some emanation or reproduction of it, oftenest, though by no means necessarily, during sleep or trance, and the setting up of relations or communication by various means with the denizens of another plane of existence. Pausing here, Chapter 24, The Supramental Sense, page 877, midway, to be continued in the next reading.